Welcome to the Lookout Landing podcast, officially known as Dome and Bedlam. I am the managing editor of Lookout Landing. My name is Nathan Bishop. Joining me tonight, we have one of our two usual co-presenters. David Skiba is very tired, somewhere off by a local brewery, which will give him ceaseless torment. David, how are you tonight?
Tormented.
Ah.
Okay. But not by the Mariners for once.
No. Would you recommend to all the nice people at home that they open their own small business?
I am on the record as not recommending opening a small business.
Is it due to the time involved, the cost, or the just general logistical nightmare that is involved in the process?
I would answer D plus, I don't know, imagine like you're in a relationship and everyone asks you like on the second if you're married yet.
That sounds nice. That's why I got married young. Also joining me today is staff writer. I believe the Twitter bio reads Punstress, MILB aficionado, and ruthless suffocator of misshapen online man babies, Kate Kreuser.
Hi!
Kate, welcome.
It me, the bully from online.
How are you, Kate?
I'm good. Vanquishing insecure men on Twitter is like my lifeblood, so.
It slates you. They are the unicorn blood to your Voldemort.
It's true, and Tyler Marlette has just doubled in the Generals game, and the Generals now lead 11-3.
God bless them. They're almost as exciting as the Major League team, which is a new thing.
Kate, who would you, what object would you put your final Horcrux into?
Probably this coffee can that I have, that I've had since I was like, it was my mom's, I think. And for some reason, it's just like always been around. Mm. It has somehow survived every single clean out. It is like the cockroach coffee can. It will not die. And it's held everything within it and only emerges stronger and imbued with the essence of those things. So
it's not an object of regret. It's an object of deep importance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is the unkillable. I am the unburnable.
Mm.
Find me on twitter.com
at unburnable
and cross me or one of my friends and you will see.
Wow, that's quite the intro. I don't think we've ever gotten quite that intense that quickly. So basically,
you got like some lightning bolts in post.
So this coffee can is basically the refrigerator from Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. What was that, the name of the fourth one? Where he survived the nuclear
blast? Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that.
Are you not big on the terrible movies?
Am I not big on the
Shia LaBeouf is not your spirit animal?
Indiana Jones friend? No, that's not my jam.
I bet that you and Shia LaBeouf could have a very interesting conversation on Twitter.com while we're talking about that. We are ostensibly here to talk baseball. Before we do that, let's further segue into the imbibement of alcohol. David, are you consuming alcohol? Mm.
I am. I am actually working on the rosé that I made last harvest. So just kind of taking it easy on the beer train right now.
Wait. You made wine?
There was a time in my life where I applied my wares on grapes.
I've never once heard this.
And you decided...
I keep a lot of things secret.
You decided this is too glamorous. Easy and profitable for me.
Yes.
Where can I find something miserable?
This is such a simple pursuit.
I need something backbreaking.
Not wine.
I am recording this podcast with two people raised as Catholics, and it is going to show. Probably repeatedly.
And Mariners fans.
We'll
have
the lightning bolts and the sound of the self-flagellating whip crack over the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. And halfway through, I plan on just busting out into the Magnificat.
We should write the Magnificat of the Mariners at some point.
Oh my gosh. No religion, but...
But also, that religion's fine. Kate, are you drinking alcohol?
I am. I don't want anyone to judge me. But I just grabbed what I saw in the fridge, and it is a Blue Moon, which I know they're like corporate bad beer. Mm-hmm. But it's the Harvest Pumpkin Ale, and I love it so much. It is totally my guilty pleasure, and I am like the most basic girl when fall comes around. Like I am, I am that pumpkin spice. I mean, on Twitter right now, I'm pumpkin spice cake because I just I lean into that. I love fall. It's my favorite of the seasons, I think. Well, no, winter's my favorite season, but...
Wow. We were so close to a moment where we were going to be kindred spirits there. Because fall is my favorite time. Although not necessarily for pumpkin spice, but...
It's for the stars.
I love all that. This is the only time of the year that I miss living back east because, man, East Coast fall is... Whew, that is special.
Mainly because it signals the end of East Coast summer.
That is true, yes. And the brief transitory period of happiness between everything wants to murder you East Coast summer and everything plus one wants to murder you East Coast winter.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the one span where things are kind of tolerable.
It's funny that people like we've figured out trains and planes, cars, so many other things, bicycles, and yet people just intentionally just stay on the East Coast. Like, they just stay there.
They keep trying to leave and come here, and at some point, I mean...
It's terrible. It rains.
Yeah, don't...
Yeah, we've got to start putting out some, like, serious disinformation, and when those NFL films people come to shoot their bumper, you know, we'll just guide them away from Pike Place and
do 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 everything sucks do 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 do
we'll just sit them down one of the back alleys of like Second Avenue and be like, oh yeah, here's the real Seattle.
We thought real world Seattle would be bad enough, but
Hobo Piss Rainwater is really
it downtown. Always rains. Absolutely. I think that's a fine choice. Honestly, I don't mind Blue Moon all that much.
No, I think that's actually a really nice pumpkin beer, to be honest.
Yeah. I really
straight like... Blue Moon is undrinkable to me, but I like their off stuff.
I like pumpkin beer as a celebratory kind of like yay fall kind of thing, and then I'm pretty much done with it. I don't.
You know what was cool was the final game of the season. They had like three or four pumpkin beers down in the pen last year.
That's right. Cool. Man, the beer selection at Safeco is so good.
Yep.
I am not drinking beer or whiskey, which I've been known to do. I've gone through a phase. This past week, my wife has commented on it. I don't know what's influencing this because I'm normally a pretty docile person, but I've started making proclamations this week. I proclaimed recently that we were going to be having soups all winter, which I know is a bold proclamation.
That's a lot.
I know. But then, like, I think 2 days ago, I decided that it was going to be the, quote, fall of cider. And I, like, told this to my wife in a very, you know, dramatic, it's the fall of cider, and that kind of thing.
But not, like, the fall of Rome. Like
No. Like, the season of the age, the...
There. I like that. The epoch
of cider. And thus, I am drinking the Seattle Cider Company's dry hard cider.
It's a good one.
I really like it. The semi-sweet is fine. It's a little too sugary for me. I get why other people like it, but I really like this one. 6.5% alcohol. I'll definitely be having another one before we're done podcasting tonight. So, friends, the last time that we recorded an episode of Dome and Bedlam...
The Mariners lost.
The Mariners did lose. We were in mourning. I think I labeled that episode Hate Week. and it was kind of befitting. Since that time, here's a fun fact. Probably if you're listening to this, you know that the Mariners, since we've recorded on Thursday the 15th, the last recording was Tuesday the 6th, I believe. The Mariners have not lost a baseball game. They have won 8 in a row. Not only have they won 8 in a row, here's a fun fact for you. How many innings... I don't think they've played any extra inning games during those 8 games. So that's 72 innings of baseball. How many innings total do you think the Mariners have trailed during that 8 game winning streak?
Is it one?
It is not one.
Three?
It is actually averaging out your two guesses.
Is it two?
Two total innings that the Mariners have been behind.
Wow.
The other 70 innings, they have either been tied or leading. So it's been it's not been kind of like that period in May where it felt like they were coming back and they could mm-hmm. all that you can never count them out and they're making all these preposterous late runs. It's been as dominant a stretch as they have played all season and seemingly from nowhere. I mean, I don't know where you two were. David, I know you're always optimistic. Kate, you always have a really really cool perspective on stuff that usually I don't think about. I had pretty much given this team up for not necessarily dead, but just for I'd resigned myself to not making the playoffs.
I think all three of us had early last week. Yeah.
I mean,
it was over.
David's tide of relentless optimism was stemmed by that.
It's true. I had a dark night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You had like a trade the entire team away, burn it to the ground. Let's start all over.
That may have been the brewery.
That probably was. That was opening a small business.
I think you got your small business and the Mariners confused for a second there.
Burn it.
No,
burn it all.
They were similar, honestly. That was an apt comparison at the time.
Yeah.
The Mariners felt that way. It really did feel for a while there that every time something would go wrong, they'd fix it and be like, hey, a reliever's coming off the DL, or hey, the rosters have expanded, we can bring up some X player. Then like four other things would go wrong, or three guys would go down injured, or two guys would have an off night, and it's all just come together. And it's been the most ridiculous late season. I'm honestly without a real comparison for what season, a Mariners season has any Mariners season before this that has been like this, because 1995 was just kind of stayed mediocrity until September, which just this flash of 3 week lightning. And then 2001 was this like just ceaseless surge of excellence that could not be stopped. And this year it's been like this really, I don't even know how to describe it. It's been like a cell of tornadoes over the Midwest where like one hits and then it goes away and then another one comes in. I can't even think of a good way to describe it. It's been completely ridiculous the way this team has put us through ups and downs.
I think it's like going to wild waves. It's like
on a hypodermic needle.
Yeah. It's like you hop in the first like ride and you know they go 2-6 and you're in the kiddie pool and you're like, wow, this is definitely full of pee. And then you hit like, I don't know, the log ride, and that's May, and things are, you know, it's like, wow, I'm really squeaking out this log ride, things are nice, I'm nice and dry. Maybe at the end of the log ride you bump your knee and now you're bleeding in a water park. So it's like, what are you supposed to do about that?
You just let it bleed out in the water like everyone else.
Over the course of July, you get treatment on the knee, starts to dry up. August comes around. I don't know. You hit one of the roller coasters. It's a good time. You throw up, and then you're late August. You're back down towards things are looking really bad. And then
you have some cotton candy.
You have a little cotton candy. And all of a sudden, you are literally on fire, and in like north of Tacoma. And what do you know?
You've reached that intersection of Fife and Federal Way,
and Shaboozy,
and known as Valhalla. Sure, that's a
for me one of the most astounding facts of the 8-game win streak, which has seen the Mariners playoff odds go from something like I think 2% on BP to now 30%
in eight days. Yes,
for me one of the most astounding parts of it is that the Mariners have only gained 3 games in the AL West.
Well,
damn AL West.
Texas is just crazy.
Did you both see that 538 piece today? Did either of you see it?
I skimmed it, but yes, I did. The one about how we're just perpetually unlucky.
Yeah, how every time the Mariners, like expected playoff seasons, the Mariners have had the fewest actual playoff seasons from expected. Basically, the idea being that whenever the Mariners have had a good season, it's been perfectly timed where the quality of competition in the American League has been just good enough to make sure they don't make the playoffs. Not only that, but the other interesting takeaway that I thought was really impressive, because the sample size was from 1998 forward, so an 18-year sample, the AL West has averaged the most wins of any division in baseball. over that 18-year period.
Did they count the Angels in that?
I don't think they count the minor leagues. So.
I might have to hand over my burn.
The burn stick.
Stick, baby.
Why is this conch on fire? Burn stick, baby.
Where is Chris Taylor?
Bloop stick, baby.
He's out there somewhere. That transitions us actually really nicely to something. Okay, well, I don't know. Kate, did you want to talk about, I mean, how does one put into, how do you make verbal the experience of watching this team over the last 8 games? Is there anything?
I don't know that there are, like, human words for it, honestly. It's just...
there are sounds.
The thing is, like, I checked myself out mentally of playoffs back when we dropped all the games against Texas. I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm putting my playoff hopes to bed. You know, I'm going to box them up and put them in the storage unit for next year.
Yeah.
And I focused a lot of my attention on our minor league teams.
Yeah, which we'll talk about.
Who were in playoff contention. And, you know, honestly, I entered this season not with the highest expectations. I wanted them to come out over 500. And I wanted things to feel like they were moving in the right direction. That was all. I just wanted to feel like there was a plan. Because I'm not expecting huge success. So, like, then for a while, they kind of tricked me and made me think they could do it. And I let myself float down that little ride for a while, and then, like, nope, cold reality. So I've been trying to resist all of these warm, fuzzy feelings, which is funny because I am warm, fuzzy feeling.
As we know, like, from Twitter.com.
Yes, to those that I love. But, you know, I wrote the Keep Fighting piece, and I was, like, all on board with that.
Awesome piece.
Thank you. But... it was, I think that represented, like, the deepest part of my investment. And then when they came back and just looked so shitty.
Yeah.
Very I think shitty. I was actually at Trivia and I was wearing my Keep Fighting shirt on one of the Tuesday night games against Texas. And we just, and that was the Edwin Diaz gave up the home run game.
Yeah, in Texas.
Yeah, that was, and I was like, okay, that's just... I have to check out here.
That was maybe the low point for me too. Yeah. So, you know what it feels like? I was thinking about, it's like when you're a kid and somebody's doing magic for the first time, and it's like they're like go through this elaborate ruse and like they get you all excited about this big, there's this big showmanship, you get all excited, blah 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 blah, and you're like, what in the hell is going on? How is he going to do this? And then he like shows this card and he flashes this whole thing. He's like, is this your card? And you're like, no. It's not. And then the magician's like, oh. And then he like reaches behind your ear and like all of a sudden there's a card. He's like, is this your card? You're like, oh my god, it actually is. Like, that's what the Mariners have been.
That's what they're doing. Yes. Yeah, they're like the worst best magicians.
They are a sixth graders magician show.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they are. Yeah, it's been. I'm actually like I've been viscerally angry numerous times during this 8-game win streak just because I was ready to let it go. And Kate, I was kind of before the season in a similar place to you where I was ready to, you know, I just wanted to see improvement. It's been kind of difficult to wrestle with that, not only due to the team's success, but juxtaposed against what we talked about last week, which is the idea that their best players are kind of past their prime and aren't getting any better. So they need to maximize this window. But I had said my goodbyes. I mean, we've staff writer Isabel. Shoot. I'll butcher her last. What's that? Manassian?
It's Manasian.
Manasian?
Mm. Isabel Manasian has repeatedly commented on the many post ideas and themes and just general brainstorms we've had the last week or so has cast aside. Like, you can't plan for it. It's just every day we wake up, it's like, oh crap, they won again. And I have no idea
what
how
that means.
To deal with that. And not only have they won again, but I think I need to double check. Did Tampa Bay end up holding on today? I didn't even see.
Oh, I forgot to look.
Let me use the tech real quick here. Da ba da ba da da ba da da ba da. Yes. The Rays held on.
Yeah, they did.
And beat the Orioles 7-6. And the Tigers lost
to
the Twins So two of the now there are only two baseball teams contending for a wild card spot that are ahead of the Seattle Mariners, which are the two wild card teams, the Blue Jays and the Orioles. And so right now, as of this recording, the Mariners are a game and a half out of the wild card spot. So not only have they won, they've gained this ridiculous amount of ground. They've leapfrogged every team between them and the wild card teams. And that was the thing more than the games behind that made me not believe. It was how many teams they had to pass, yeah. You know? They've done that. They've passed them, you know?
In a week. Yeah, they just needed a week.
They just needed to go on a little late-game win streak, as somebody what said on know? Twitter.
Just needed to go play the California teams.
Well, so for me, the thing that makes this awesome, and I bet that there's some traction with the team in this, although I don't know how you would prove that, is that they started this against the Rangers, and that's been their bugaboo all year.
Yeah,
that team has kicked their ass, and whether they blew them out, whether they, yeah, that game with Edwin Diaz a few weeks ago where Rognando Odor hit the walk-off, the game earlier where Steve Cishek gave up a home run to Prince Fielder, who is now retired.
Whoa!
That happened. They were
such
one out from winning.
Pain.
Yes. Even as a Mariner fan, I recognize this defeat as a fine vintage. I know failure, let me tell you. This has been
an exceptional late summer led to exquisite tannin, blending with blackberry notes and Steve Cishek's sweat.
Look at the legs on this pain.
I mean, if it's Steve Cishek's legs, there's a lot of them, so
and
that makes sense.
I can't judge men.
Can we also point out, according to Baseball Reference, the attendance for the three games in LA goes in order.
This most recent series, they just swept.
29,000 on Monday the 12th, 32,000 on Tuesday the 13th, and 33,000 on the 14th.
Oops,
where I swear there were 7,000 people.
There is no way that the attendance. I would have believed that. So what did you say the average was? Did you have an average?
The average there would be 31-ish, 31.5.
I would take that as the total of the three game series.
Yeah, at best, optimistically.
It was brutal. It was, yeah. You know, well, I mean, you know, well, you know what they say about Ram season in L.A.
Folks got to go see the Goffinator.
I like this because, you know, all of the L.A. teams are bad. Except for the Dodgers.
Shoot. The Dodgers.
Oh well, they're fun and likable. It's okay. Yeah, it started with the Rangers. It went through the A's, and it's been so good that it's been against the AL West because it's felt like this team has really kicked themselves numerous times. They've had these two punching bags in the Angels and the A's all season long, and it just feels like they've squandered some easy wins there.
Yes, no question.
So to see them play the way that it's been the offense. They have the highest scoring offense in all of baseball in the month of September. So that's the easy narrative there. But it's also been they finally have gotten some starters to get some traction.
Yes.
Did we all watch Taiwan start 2 days ago? Were we all there for that? Or did we at least get to like check in on that?
Oh, yeah.
That was the start of the year by a wide margin, given what I expected and the ensuing outcome.
You know what's nice to see is him. I mean, when his first four or five starts in April, he was, I mean, top five pitcher in the MLB in terms of what he was doing. He was incredible. So to see him come back is, I mean, that would be so big if he can keep that.
That's always been the thing with Taiwan, has been his ceiling. I mean, yep. He has that ceiling.
It's crazy. His ceiling's insane.
Yeah. And it's been so great, too, because, and there's just so many ways you can spin it. It's that miserable start against the Angels during their malaise where I don't think he made it out of the second inning, got completely destroyed, went to the staff and basically said, how do I fix this?
I actually don't know if he made it out of the first inning.
Was that what it was? I couldn't recall.
I think it was like two-thirds of an inning.
It was embarrassing. He gave up four home runs, I think, back-to-back-to-back. I know that. He didn't give up a three-run home run to Mike Trout because he let the guy in front of Mike Trout hit a home run. But yeah, he just looked awful. And that's kind of been a thing with Taiwan for a long time, is that his mechanics have always looked less than ideal, less not natural, like somebody who hasn't been playing the sport for a super long time, which in some ways makes sense. This is a guy that didn't grow up in the club baseball machine that a lot of kids do these days. He was a basketball player first, and just an incredible athlete, and that's why he got drafted. And kudos to Jack Zirinczyk in the scouting department at that time. But he's never had that fluid, well-coached, well-trained motion. And to see the first outing out was a little suboptimal. You could tell that he was really fighting himself, but the way that guy was using his lower half in this last start was night and day from the way he's been before. He actually has a leg kick. He has a little bit of a turn to his body, and it seems so much more fluid and natural for him. And I don't want to put the horse before the cart there, but it's like David said, man, if he's got two or three more starts like that coming down the stretch.
Oh, it's huge for them.
It's so big. And then
one thing I want to caution is a lot of times, like in language learning education, we talk about how there's a processing time that it takes to commit a new skill to memory. So when you change something, a lot of times you change something, it's hard at first, and then you master it, and then it seems like you've got it, but then it like goes away for a little. Mm-hmm. And scientists have different theories about why that happens. Some theorize that that's like the time that it's taking for it to get transferred from short-term memory to long-term memory, that it like kind of goes away. It's like being processed or something.
Okay.
But there's this dip that can happen sometimes. So if he came out and wasn't awesome his next start, I wouldn't necessarily be worried about it, because it might be that processing time where he's adjusting. And then I would expect him to come out again with those changes. But it's a huge change that he's being asked to make pretty late in his development.
Yeah, late in the year, too.
Late in the year.
That's what I was going to say is just relative to the player. I don't anticipate even – I mean, let's make up the dream scenario where the Mariners make the World Series. I don't even think in 6 weeks I could gain the level of confidence where I would be with Taiwan Walker thinking, all right, he's going eight tonight.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like that no. will take – that'll
take seasons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, Kate, there's so much insight there that I think has a lot of value. And that's why it's been so interesting, because it's this time of year as Mariner fans, that's kind of the stuff that we're thinking about is, oh, man, I really hope that X player's adjustments or his recent trends going into the end of the season are going to translate into the next season. You know, I'd love to see him carry this into April.
And this has been number crunching time.
Right now, it's like, holy shit, there are 16 games left. Mm-hmm. And so we are down to you know how you feel every Sunday when the Seahawks play a football game?
That's how many we got.
We're about to do that in 2 weeks. A whole season of it.
Yeah. Hold on to your butts.
Yeah.
Because they're flying off.
Yeah. You will not be able to locate your butt if you don't find it. It's just going to go wherever the hell it wants.
Oh, I'll find it.
It always comes back. It's my voice. No, it's going to be absolutely bonkers. And that leads
And that's what I think is really going to be. I mean, we kind of did it in 14, but they were kind of running out of gas at this point until that final series with the Angels where they swept because they had to. But this is sort of a unique thing for, I think, a lot of Mariners fans who haven't ever been in this scenario where, you know, the younger generation of Mariners fans hasn't had this time where it's not time for number crunching. It is time for hunches and good feeling and who had the best day of batting practice. And it's now. Like, yeah. It's who's hot, what day.
And it may not make sense, and you're going to see suboptimal decisions. And typical circumstances, I would probably be much more to get like upset about it. But honestly, like there are things that happen in that dugout that we don't know about and that we can't see. And unless it's something so egregious, like if we're laying down sacrifice bunts with Franklin Gutierrez or something like that, then I'm totally with you. It's time to. Just go. It's just time to go. It's time to do it. I'm looking back right now at what it was the last time that we did this in 2014, which was almost exactly 2 years ago, which was really freaking me out how similar the circumstances were.
They had just as many losses on the same date today as they do. They were at 80 and 68 on the 15th.
Yeah, and season wise, before they came in, so they came in on September 10th. They lost to the Astros 5-2, had an off day, coming home for the night court weekend, and the Friday before it, they beat Oakland 4-2. They went 80-66. They were a game out, I think, of the wild card or the division. Mm-hmm. No, out of the wild card at that
wild
point.
Card.
And then they lost night court in 10, and they never really recovered from that. They lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of 12 before they rallied to win their last four. So is that coming for this team? I don't know. The only other analogous scenario the last decade is 2007, which was Lollapalooza, for those of us that remember that, where they got swept by the Angels at home, which was a horrible weekend. So this really is, it's unlike anything that we're used to. Well, the time for analysis is over. It's just time to be loud and cheer.
And I was going to say, you know, throwing it to both of you, we have five series left. We go home to Houston for three, Toronto. Then we take one day off to fly to Minnesota for three, Houston for three. And then we finish the year with a four-game set at home against the A's. So with 16 games left there to make the theoretical 87-win portal, what, they need 9 wins?
Yeah.
I mean, do we all feel comfortable with that? 9-7 to finish? I mean, I'd be more comfortable at 88, which is 10-6, but I mean, I still feel good about that.
Yeah, it's baseball. You know?
Sure.
So it's in some way, yeah. If they go 4-2 on these next six, on this homestand, if they can go 4-2, then the governor is off. All sanity is being thrown out the window. And we're just going to roll. Because then they close. Then 1-2-3, yeah. Then 7 of their last 10 games are against the Twins and the A's.
And, which is huge.
Yeah.
And Houston is stumbling right now.
Well, yeah. I mean,
is Altuve okay? What's going on with that?
I haven't seen any updates.
I don't think
today.
They've done an update on it.
The last I saw was that that their manager said that he may not be okay to go on Friday, which I really love Jose Altuve. He's one of my favorite baseball players to watch play. Yeah. But that's fine with him. Yeah.
He cannot play for a couple games.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. So, yeah, no, they're 78. They're 78-68. If they go 10, I don't know what's reasonable at this point. 10-6 is a good stretch of baseball. If they go 10-6, they go 88-74, which would be one of the best years they've had since 2003. If they go 11-5 and 89 wins, you got to really like their chances.
Well, and that's where I guess I'm at with, you know, four with Oakland, four with the Twins. I mean, those last four against Oakland, who knows who's going to be on the field for the A's?
Yeah. Already, I don't recognize, like, half of their roster.
Did you guys see the score from the Oakland Royals game today?
Yes, they're just pounding the Royals.
What?
They gave up 5 runs in the bottom of the ninth, which made it very scary because the final score was 14-5.
Oh, my gosh.
The Royals are just spitting the bit too. It's crazy.
Yeah. Good for the A's because, you know, those people are living in Mad Max times out there. They need something.
There's sewer all over.
That is the nickname. Yeah. That is the nickname of O.co, I believe, is the salt. You just drive across that outfield for days and days. It never ends. There's nothing but death out there for you.
Especially during Raiders season.
Oh God. That's actually a fun team this year. It's just because the way the schedule lines up, the only team that really doesn't get hammered is the Tigers, who still have to play the Indians too. But, you know, it's so nice that all of the because the way the baseball schedule works is they want you playing divisional opponents in September because it adds drama, et cetera. And because four teams are all bashing each other's brains in the AL East, they're all going to be playing each other. Mm-hmm. Going down the stretch. So Toronto and Baltimore and the Yankees and the Red Sox, they're all going to be going toe-to-toe with each other. And so it's going to be really hard for one team there to really separate themselves since they're all four pretty good teams.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the Generals are down to their last strike to win. One so, on
with two outs. Generals lead at 11-3 and 9.
This is it.
We have the express written consent, right?
Chopper hits slowly up the third base line. This will hit off the bag, stays fair. Wallet played it forth to kick fat, but never did.
God damn it.
Peterson.
That was good.
That is Dustin Peterson, DJ's little brother.
That was going to be amazing. So dramatic right there.
I know. Well, they were like down to the final strike. There are two outs. And then there was a single. Anderson gave up a single, and then whatever this was. So we're still waiting on that.
Is the scene exactly what happens if the Generals win this game?
They are the Southern League champions.
Woo!
Champagne showers.
Words of the South.
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill ascends into the heavens.
The Barons of Marshmallow Schnapps, if I South Park lore correctly.
I thought it would be like whipped Smirnoff.
One more time.
Schnapps. Schnapps. Yes, one more time.
Franco, third baseman, is 1-for-4. Pitch is bounced foul, and now it's 0-2. Again, the Generals are a strike away.
I love Lee Paver so much. He's so good.
Would be the first for the Generals as a franchise since 2000. 0-2. Swing and a miss! The Generals have won the Southern League in 2016. The men in gray mob, Matt Anderson on the mound, and that's how this season comes to an end.
That's awesome.
Hold on.
Those guys.
Hold on. Let's celebrate.
We got celebrate.
We have, don't we?
Wow! Yeah. Toast to the
Generals. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
That is really cool. I'm very, very excited for them. And I agree with you. Brandon is really great, the play-by-play guy of the Generals.
He's fantastic, and I hope there's a way that he's still calling games for us next year.
Me too.
Although I also hope he too ascends into the heavens, which is his rightful place.
I agree.
By this, I mean AAA. But...
or as we all know it, heaven.
Hey, for the guys who are playing out in Jackson, Tennessee, true. I think Tacoma looks pretty
sounds
nice.
Mighty fine.
Yeah.
It's so close to nice places. That's actually the official Tacoma City motto.
We're close to nice places.
We have trains to Seattle.
the last livable place.
Before
it's where you can afford Tacoma. You can afford a home here. That's what they come up with.
Let's before we go to break, and we'll go to break, and then have your Twitter questions beforehand. Let's really quick transition to this because Kate, I'm fascinated by this. I wish I had more time, and I wish I had more passion, honestly, for it. But this is your first year writing for writing about the Mariners and really covering the organization in as much depth. And you've really, it seems like, found a real passion for all of the minor leagues, specifically the Generals, but just overall, the whole organization's farm system. What can you speak to that a little bit? Like what that's been like for you and why you think that's been and just a little bit what that experience has been like as you've seen, I think, all seven of their affiliates make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. I wasn't very well-versed in anything beyond AAA last year because, you know, obviously you want to know who's got the most direct pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
But sort of, and I mean, largely inspired by Ethan Novak, who writes for us.
Uh-huh. Does a great
and his
show.
Wide breadth of knowledge. Yeah, and I wanted to be knowledgeable and be able to talk about it with him. And once I found out how to be able to listen to the games, it's just, you know, I do a lot of stuff around the house and it's nice to turn on the games and I am, I guess, a lonely person. So it's nice, you know, you had a little, it's like having friends.
Well, what is it about? What is it about the minor leagues in specific? Cause you can get a lot of people listen to the Mariner games on the radio. It's not like there's a want of Major League Baseball at the same time as Minor League Baseball. So I'm just curious what it is about the minors, if there's something there that like that just translates to you in a more tangible way. Not more tangible, in a different tangible way than the majors.
Well,
do.
Yeah, when I started out, I've been doing a ton of yard work this summer, so it was convenient to have the games on and be able to listen to something and mm-hmm. have and so at first it was the the major leagues and kind of getting to know all of the different broadcasters and
sure.
learn things. And that was interesting. But I think there was a time where there weren't those games available, and so I decided to give the minor leagues a try. And I think because people have said so many bad things about our farm system and how mm-hmm. worthless and useless and barren it is.
Zrenziki, I believe, was the verb used.
But, you know, like, these are guys, and they're people with dreams, and yeah. they are still within that top, you know, 10% of everybody who has sure. ever thrown a baseball or
yeah.
hit a baseball in their lives.
And they're barely earning a living wage.
Yeah, and I think that there's, like, there are some people, I don't think I'm one of the people who are, like, super, super into the minor leagues, because there are
no.
people who just do minor leagues and sure. that's it. We met some of them at the Aqua Sox game that was at Safeco.
Yeah.
I did not realize that there's, like, a huge swath of fans who are just, they're Aqua Sox fans. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's their team. They live nearby. They go. They love that contact of being able to meet and talk with the ball players, which honestly for me has been like a side benefit of it. So I was big on Dan Altavilla before he came up, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was nice. Like, I've never had a piece kind of get recognized by the player, but his mom found it and his sister found it. And, like, I'm sure he read it and. So just having like some contact with his mom, like, that was kind of cool. And Ian Miller, who's in Jackson, sent me a nice message the other day, like, oh, thanks for covering us. And, you know, these are my goals for the season and this is what I'm working on. So that cool. human element is really,
yeah.
I think that's why I'm a baseball fan in general. I like the human side of it. I like the stories. I like rooting for people, and mm-hmm. minor leagues just make that so much more accessible. And because these are guys who are just doing it, it's almost like I would equate it to like college football. Like, these are guys who are doing what they do because they love baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're living some pretty challenging lives because of it. And in the case of our farm system, they're dealing with, you know, a lot of people saying things like they aren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went and wanted to find like the gems that are in our farm system that are maybe getting overlooked. And I think they're out there and we're going to see. I really believe that this regime has better teaching tools in place. And as somebody who has studied education, like, that's really important to me, that we're showing people how to be successful with what they have and how to make the most out of what they are instead of trying to press them into this mold of be a right-handed power hitter, play shoddy outfield.
Miss you, Mark Trumbo.
Hey.
Just saying, I miss him.
And, you know, I think that that's, when you look at the scouting reports on Tyler O'Neill, they were previously to this year, well, he's a one-tool player. He doesn't really defend well, and he doesn't hit for average, and he doesn't take walks, and that's all he can do is he hits dingers and he strikes out. And I think that this year, Tyler O'Neill, somebody at that organization talked to Tyler O'Neill and found him a different way to be a different kind of player who is literally a threat on all facets of the game.
Yeah.
So
that's really cool.
That's really satisfying.
Yeah. No, I think one of my favorite things about baseball, I don't know if this is unique to people that are manically into basketball and football, maybe it is, but I love that there's, if you love the game of baseball, you can probably find an entry point, whether it's statistical analysis, whether it's just loving the major league team, whether it's those people that just love the Aqua Sox, like you said, which is, I mean, my God, what an amazing subset of fans that is, or people like yourself that just find this entry point in these. I feel like it's probably diminishing and reductive to say it's like the hipster baseball fan, like you're trying to find them before they're big. You know what I mean?
I think that's a little part of it, though. Like, do I feel a little frisson of satisfaction that Altavilla has been called up
yeah.
and is doing well? And like, was I there first? Go, oh, kind of.
Yeah. Has he totally sold out now? That's the important thing. Yeah.
Did his second album just suck?
Non-commercial.
No, I love that. The minor leagues are minor league baseball is there is no other equivalent to it in American sports that I know of. And it's a little bit different here because, you know, even the Aqua Sox and the Rainiers are so close to a place like Seattle, where the relationship is a little bit different. But minor league baseball throughout small town America is still a thing. Like these guys, they leave their families and stay in small town Wisconsin, Iowa, all throughout the South, and you know, they make almost no money, and they do this for just chasing a dream. They give up everything. That's part of what makes somebody like Sean O'Malley so, you know, likable, is that he did totally. That for 9 years with a wife, with a family, and then ended up making it to the major league. So, I can't remember the title, but the story on the pedagogy of the Mariners was easily one of the five or six best things we've published this year. I mean, it's just such a cool look at the way that they're doing things differently down there. So, all credit to you for liking the minors, Kate, and taking the time to pay attention to it. And I guess for Ethan, kind of.
Ethan was my guiding light in this, because he was the one who was like, oh, this is this guy's story, this is this guy's story.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
He's got, you know, just deep, deep knowledge on it. So I'm not the minor league expert. I'm just the person who happens to be on this podcast.
You're the advocate.
Yes. I am the advocate, yes. And I...
Really quickly, do you guys know how many home runs Mark Trumbo has?
Does he have 38?
Kate?
He has, I don't care.
42. Mark Trumbo has 2 home runs.
I'm sorry, how many?
42.
So the Jackie Robinson tribute.
Mm-hmm.
He should probably just stop there if he's not racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should not hit anymore. Be disrespectful.
Holy God, that is a lot of home runs. Good for him, man.
Dude, seriously. Like, he's going to get so paid.
And good for Edgar.
Uh-huh.
He seriously. Still gives credit to for helping him out. Because Mark Trumbo is not this year's Mark Trumbo without his stopover in Seattle.
And regardless of his circuitous exploits in left field for the Mariners, he is by almost all accounts an absolute mensch.
I still feel bad because he was so excited to come here because Pearl Jam was his favorite band, and I found that so endearing.
Then he realized, oh, I can listen to Pearl Jam anywhere, and this place won't let me hit home runs.
Yeah.
Wait, there's streaming services now.
The stream? What? Yeah. No, good for Mark, man. That's
crazy.
He's unreal. One of those people that you're just I at this point don't want him to hit any more home runs because we're fighting with the Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not feeling it.
But he's going to get, you know, 75, 80 million bucks in this offseason, and good for him. He's the kind of player that
he just needs to go to Colorado and play first base.
Just absolutely. He should absolutely do that. I would be all for it. He'd hit somewhere between 1 and 2 kajillion home runs in this field.
They still need to do the math.
Yeah, I don't have the projections in front of me. That's what I believe it looked at last time. Are you guys up for a little Twitter Q&A after a short break?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's take a short break, and then you guys, you all in the Twitter sphere were, as always, very generous. And then we will do some of your questions and then bid you adieu.
Adieu, adieu to you and you and you.
Welcome back, and we are here rearmed with libations and ready to answer your genius, insightful, extremely probing questions. Don't probe so much next time. It hurts.
Yikes.
Yeah, please. David, do you have any good questions from the night?
I have good questions.
Okay, what's our first one?
The first one comes in from Dan Gomez, a friend of the podcast.
As he always is.
Who you can find at Gomez Dan.
Ooh, I wonder how he came up with that name.
We'll never know.
Lost
he wants to know, if Seth Smith is dad, who are the other 4 that get selected to be on Family Feud with him?
Oh.
And obviously, I mean, Charlie Furbish has to be. Does he count? Is he in there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably
yeah,
Leonis.
He knows a lot about music.
Oh, we're going for actual.
Or just for humor.
I was going for screen presence.
Leonis definitely has it, but nobody yes. will ever understand what he's yelling, what he's saying. Not because of his like indigenous Spanish speaking, but because he just sounds like a chihuahua when he talks. He's just so loud and high-pitched. Yeah.
If Leonis is a physical embodiment of a Mariners fan, it's Cotton Candy Girl.
The team has talked about how, like, multiple times when he was on the DL, how he just drove everybody crazy because he would not shut up in the dugout.
Bruce wanted him thrown out of the game that he sat at. Like, can you throw him out?
Well, that's what didn't Edwin say that like he literally doesn't shut up in center field?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Adam Lind said they were like, "Oh, did you see Leonis make that great catch?" And he was like, "See it? I heard it. He doesn't shut up.
I'm running to the ball. I'm gonna dive. I'm gonna catch it. I caught it. You guys, did you see the catch?" Just without a breath, all in one thought. I'm totally fine with putting Leonis on there just to drive the host crazy.
You need a wild card. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm good with that. I'm trying to think of who else would be good on it.
Sean O'Malley has maybe the most common sense out of everybody.
Just the one that smacks everybody in the head, says, idiots.
Yeah.
It's pie. I feel like... Say pie.
With Leonis and Charlie, I feel like there's a real chance that the question would be like, name a type of flower, and Charlie would be like, whole wheat, and Leonis would say something indistinguishable, and
Sean would be there.
Sean would like pull it back together.
It's a
Sean
daisy.
And
it's a
Seth.
It's a daisy, you idiots.
Means baby's breath.
You know who I would go with? I would go with Kyle. Because if we're going for stage presence,
he gets
you have
so
Leonis.
Mad at himself.
I know, that's the thing, the facial expressions. And just like, I don't, if you guys saw the Mariner Games video that they put on there, just that guy's competitiveness and the way he expresses it physically, he would just be there rocking on his feet the entire time. And I think he might verbally berate somebody who got something wrong. It would be glorious.
He'd be in the zone so hard that, Harvey would ask him a question and he wouldn't realize he was being talked to. Like, be like, so sorry, Steve.
I can see that. So wait, was that four? Charlie, O'Malley, Leonis, and Kyle.
That's the gang. Wow, that is a Family Feud team.
That they're ready to rock. I'm totally down with answering that question. Next question.
All right. We get another question this week. From the one and only man that is part gazelle.
Macheeple the sheeple? Is that what it was?
Speechy McPeachy. Who you can find at QRK1122.
I love his salutation towards you. This is why he gets on this show.
Well, this is actually a wonderful question. We were talking about it over the break. He wants to know, yo, Davey Ski, it's me. True or false? Vogelbach is still a better base runner than Nori Aoki.
I mean, as far as hilarity goes, I don't think I've ever seen Aoki miss a base. So,
well,
in that case, yes.
I think this goes into the like the theory of comedy that if you do something funny once, it's very funny, and then if you do it numerous times, it's not funny. But then if you push through that, you get to the hilarity point. Mm-hmm. So, like, with
Aoki's, the Family Guy thing.
Is that a Family Guy thing? That makes me sad. Or is that just why their jokes are funny?
I they did that thing where, like, they'd be awkwardly silent forever.
I've never seen an episode of Family Guy. Cause
it's really not worth it.
It's not good. If you like Family Guy, you're wrong. There we go. Just deal with that. But no, like maybe if Aoki tube land, like, 10 more times, it would start being hilarious. But he's definitely in that zone where it's like, motherfucker. If he ever does this again, I'm going to kill him. Whereas with Vogelbach, him doing it the first time is super endearing. And actually, he moves way better than I thought
he would.
He
moves really well.
Like, way better
like
than I thought he would.
Like Redstone legs around the base.
Yes, incredibly quick.
Like, he looks like he is headed to bedrock.
Like, it's Vogelbach. Meet the Vogelbachs.
Oh, where is the second base? Where is the second base?
I would just like to see a Photoshop of him, like, in the car with the big side of the Brontosaurus steak. Like,
oh, he's the Brontosaurus. That's the thing. I love this man so much already. I love, like, we got a great screenshot of him before he even played a game, before he missed second, of him just in the dugout, just pensively gnawing on an unopened bag of sunflower seeds, with looking into the camera with just some sort of, like, paint me like one of your French girls look. It was just so perfect. And I love his skill set. His swing is, I'm trying to think of, like, it's like the swing equivalent of that gif of a robot who's designed to play goalie but falls over like 3 seconds after the ball goes in. Like, it just looks so unnatural and just like, I've been programmed to perform action X and now I will do it. But it works, and I want him to succeed so badly. I
don't love him, and none of what you're saying is making me love him.
That incompetent robot does nothing for you?
No. I mean, to me, he's just the guy we traded Mimo for. And, you know, Monty got a... Can we talk about how Mike Montgomery, in his start tonight, had an RBI single to tie the game, the Cubs game?
Holy crap, are you
Mike
serious?
Montgomery might have the identical swing comp to Michael Saunders.
I mean, like, it's a dead good ringer. Swing. It's a beautiful swing.
Montgomery's a good athlete. I remember when we pressed somebody before for who was
Wasn't
best.
He a basketball player?
Yeah. It was either him or Taiwan was the best athlete on the team. Yeah. He was a really good basketball player apparently in high school. I think that's a really interesting trade, because there's a really good case that if Mike Montgomery's on this team, the Mariners are currently leading a wild card spot. But when they made that trade, just because of the catastrophe that the rotation was for weeks on end there for a while, and the bullpen for that matter, that you had a guy like Montgomery that could go long, that could be a loogie, that could start games. I don't fault the trade, because when we made the trade, it didn't look like we were making the playoffs even a little bit towards the end of July. And they got a player that at a position of need that is cost controlled, that it projects to be at least a league average first baseman from the left side,
which is so big.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. So I understand the reasoning of the trade, but man, for the rest of 2016, it really bites you in the ass.
Yep.
But how can you not love him? He's like a barrel with legs.
Oh, he
I love Dale. I'm like, that spot in my heart is occupied by Dejo.
There's only so much room, and Dejo literally occupies all of it.
All of it.
Yes.
So speaking of Dejo, we get a question coming in from Ann Mariner, who you can find at Fantasy Workball.
That's not who wonders English. It's at Mariner.
He wonders, what are each of your top three players that won't be on the 2017 team?
Bro. Well, oh shit. Do we have to do this?
Mine are, I can probably do them. I don't think you keep, I think these players go. And I am very sad to say, I think Seth Smith is not on the 2017 roster. I think Chris Iannetta is not on the 2017 roster. And probably Dejo is my third. I don't think he's on the 17 roster either.
I come to sing the praises of Nelson Cruz.
Ooh.
Can we digress from the question and just spend a moment?
It sounds like you want to with that one.
Well, I think there's a very good chance that they are going to heavily market Nelson Cruz in the offseason.
37 bombs right now, yeah.
He is one of my favorite Mariners of the last 10 years. Within 2 years of being a Mariner, he's in the top 10.
Last year, he was in the top 10 for me.
I mean,
I loved him in year one.
I cannot remember a player. I just the career arc is just it's not to the same level. It is borderline Edgar-esque to see him. He was not an everyday player till he was 28 years old. He was a good but not great hitter up until his year in Baltimore, where he was bonkers. And then everybody made fun of this team for signing him for a 4-year, $58 million deal, as they should have. And he has been worth, like, I'm just going to look it up while we're talking. It's close to 8 war at this point, purely through the effort of swinging a baseball bat extremely hard and hitting a ball very far. He has been everything. And he bust his ass down the line, which doesn't actually mean anything. He's by all accounts a great dude. Like, what a signing for this guy. Like, what is he at now? He is at 4.8 FWAR last year and 3.3 this year, so 8.1 FWAR. Which, if you got that over the entire life of that four-year contract, you'd be thrilled.
Well, that's exactly what he did. In 2 years, he has outgained his contract's value by $6 million.
And that's what Grant, I think I told him yesterday I'm going to call him Gant Borsten, which I don't know why. But what Grant wrote about on the site yesterday, that's what he's done. He's outperformed the entire life of that four-year contract. He would have to be Adam Lind at the point for the next years to like regress back to an actual value per contract. So that home run he hit two nights ago. Yeah, in Anaheim was probably context-free the home run of the year for me.
It was a monster.
It should not have been able to stay fair. It defied the laws of physics. It was the loudest ball-to-bat contact I may have ever heard, thanks to that 28,000 people that were there.
Yeah, 32,000 packing
20,000 wearing concrete vests.
So Nelson's one of yours.
Yeah, I just... My God, I we don't even have to discuss it any further. I just had to take a quick moment because we need to regularly appreciate that guy. He has slugged 556 and now 547 in Safeco Field. He's a 143 WRC plus. The man's a damn miracle. He makes no sense. Just God bless him. That's all. Sorry. Kate, who are your three?
I agree with Seth Smith. I think there's no way.
Yeah.
He just doesn't fit the profile at all. They've gone out and gotten younger, more athletic outfielders.
I'm going to play Jones part two. When let him go. Sorry, Mr. Jones. Too old.
The thing about pitching, I don't know. I mean, I wonder if Cishek is back.
Hmm.
Just because I feel like they might try to leverage him for...
He's been really good since he came off the DL.
Eighth inning.
Yeah, I think that's his thing.
Eighth inning is his sweet spot, but I could also see Jerry being like, see how good he's in the eighth inning? Maybe he's your closer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not afraid to move a bullpen piece.
I think we're in a place with Jerry, too, where just we're still getting to know him, but he seems so willing to just shop almost anybody. Like he's
oh yeah,
it's kind of a whiff of the Pete Carroll, which is a comparison we try to avoid much because we try to not go Hawks Mariners. But like how if you're in Pete's locker room, he loves you, but he will cut your ass in 1 second if you don't, if he can gain something from it. I think Jerry's kind of wired similarly, where it's just yeah you're great, but I can get five prospects for you, so bye. So
it's true.
Yep. What is this question?
Next question. Da, 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 da. Okay, so this comes in from Chris K, who we all know very well, and who you can find at @I_Miss_Muninori. Chris wonders, the rotation order is projected to be Kuma at game 161, Felix at game 162, and Paxton in the theoretical wild card game. Would you change that?
Kate?
No. It goes what? Paxton?
No, Kuma, Felix, Paxton for the wild card.
Yeah, the last two games of the regular season, Kuma and Felix, and then Paxton for the playoff game.
I think if Walker is throwing like he threw yesterday, you got to run him out.
My whole thing is context. I mean, we don't have context. Has somehow this team?
Yeah, I mean, does 162 matter? Is that the final
nail? Or if 162 matters, you want Felix on the hill.
Yep.
I mean, and we'll see. Like, I mean, he's pitching tomorrow. In what every single game from here on to the rest of the year, as long as they're in it, is going to be the biggest game of the year. So tomorrow is the biggest game of the year. How does he perform in that? And how does he look? But I don't see. I mean, shit. Honestly, if I had my druthers right now, if you were just to drop this entire rotation into a vacuum and said you have this offense to deal with, so you're probably going to score four or five runs. Who do you want to start? Give me Kuma. Honestly, like he's been the only one that's proven he's regularly not going to get blown up.
Yeah.
Like, he's had some bad starts, but more often than not, he's getting you through five or six. Even last night, where he clearly didn't have it, and he just, like, decided to put us all through the sands of time and take, like, a half an hour between every pitch. That's what he needed to be ready. He got through it. He got through six and a third. So he's the guy that I'm the most comfortable with. It's not like this team has a lockdown bull. So, but I don't think he should.
I guess what I'm weirdly realizing is how confident I am in Ariel Miranda.
Interesting. He's definitely better than Wade Miley right now.
I mean, I wouldn't be like, Miranda's your wild card game starter, but I also wouldn't hate it.
Cool. I mean, maybe. Who are they playing?
Right now it would be theoretically Toronto, right?
And it would be in Toronto.
Yeah. Maybe not Miranda.
I mean, Miranda has looked successively better every time, and I'm really excited about him for next year. But, you know, his really strong outings came against some sort of weak teams.
It's true.
Yeah.
It depends what game 162 means, but if it doesn't mean anything, you throw Felix in the wild card game for me.
Yeah. In a vacuum, Felix is the guy that you want to pitch for logical and illogical reasons. He's still a good major league starter. He's just, and this team doesn't have an elite ace. So given that context,
I think Felix too is the one who I most trust to be like,
here's the spotlight.
I'm going to shine. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you want, even with James, do you want a lefty theoretically pitching against the Blue Jays in Toronto when they have Tulowitzki, Dawson, Bautista, and Encarnacion all going on the right side? Like, if you line that up where you have a righty going against that lineup, you'd be much better off. It's all.
Yeah, I guess I'd prefer Felix's changeup against that lineup over Paxton's fastball.
Yeah.
But his cutter's so filthy.
But he can't throw it. That's the thing that's like making his fingernail fall off.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, personally, I'd rather his fingernail not fall off.
Let's keep it. Let's keep that fingernail.
I mean, he's got an acrylic on there now, right? Like,
can we quickly digress to the Instagram pictures that Kate found of James Paxton yesterday?
Oh my God.
Kate, how did you find these?
I am a creepy creeper and I'm like low key obsessed with his fiance, who is just like such a cool girl. And she posts some really cute, like, again, I like the human side. Like, I follow all the players' wives. They have all the best stuff. They know everything.
All the dirt.
And they post like the adorable pictures of the players kind of off guard. So yeah, he's just like doing a little dance in the car, like doing a little shimmy. And he's like, who are you sending that to? You just send that to your friend, right? But like, meanwhile, she's putting it on her Instagram. All the weirdos need to see.
James. Oh, Jimmy.
But you know, like, she took him to the Beyonce concert and like dressed him up. And like, I don't know. I just think
he can't really tie a tie.
I just love that one of them, and I think it was their engagement shoot that you showed. Of him just like, he's just like wandering the woods, and he's like, wow, I'm getting my picture taken.
What do Isabel I do with my eyeball?
He doesn't know how to, soft smile. Like, you can hear people say, smile, James. And he's like,
boo!
Like, he can't just kind of naturally, he can do it when he doesn't think anyone's looking at it. And I mean, that just kind of fits my.
We've heard from, I think, Divish that he had low key one of the best senses of humor on the entire team.
Which is amazing.
He's not natural in the camera. And one of them. Do we not? I love him. For it.
Huh?
David, let's do one more. And then let people go about their business.
So, okay, we have two questions that I'm interested in us exploring, so we have to choose based off of, I'll give you a single word clue for each question, okay?
Okay.
One question is about shoes, and one question is about astrology.
Oh, I'm in for astrology.
And Kate?
Yeah, okay, whatever.
From reporter Joe Vieira, we get the question, what happens when Mercury is in retrograde? Which I am curious to know, because it feels like it always is.
No, I want
astrology. No, give you a question. Joe's questions.
Okay, Fair enough. Sorry, Joe, we don't know. Coming from Eric Correa, who you can find at Entendre the Giant, he wants to know, how many pairs of shoes should a sensible person own?
Oh, I can't answer that. I'm
not
counting,
counting sandals?
Sure.
Open toe and closed toe? This is important.
If you have both open and closed toe sandals, you have you are below sensible.
Open closed toe footwear is what I mean.
Yeah, all shoes.
Anything you put in your foot. This sock.
Mm-hmm.
Go five.
Or no sock.
I'll go five. There's no need for more. You've got your work shoes, your sandals, your slippers, your runners, and
slippers,
your yard
is
work.
Something that you think you have to have.
Dude, it gets cold in the winter.
I just can't believe you
haven't hit your 30s yet. Your blood flow, your blood circulation goes down. Your footsies get cold in the morning.
You have one pair of work shoes, but a pair of slippers?
Yes.
No.
Why would you need more than one pair of work shoes?
You have to have a black pair and a brown pair at least.
You can match brown with black right now. It's totally fine.
What? No.
Look, it may not go with an infinity scarf. Whatever that is.
I want to address this now. Never in my life have I worn an infinity scarf.
What the hell is it?
It's just a closed loop scarf, you guys.
So it's a necklace. Made of fabric.
It never ends.
It's a scarf necklace. Yes, if that's what you understand, yes.
That's what your feeble brain can comprehend.
For me, I would say my sensible is somewhere in the eight range, eight pairs of shoes. That feels good.
I'll allow it. It's fine.
Like, I have a couple pairs of work shoes. I have a pair of cleats, a pair of running shoes.
I forgot cleats.
An assortment of going out shoes.
I'm probably way too low on the number. I understand.
Five seems low.
Kate, what about you?
Like, I own like 30 pairs of shoes.
I don't think that's much.
I own way more than eight. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even think. I mean, I legitimately own 12, and I look at them and I'm just like, I never wear this.
Yeah, I rotate them a lot too because your feet get, if you wear the same shoe too much, like, it's bad for your feet. You gotta change it up on them. So you get different parts.
Muscle confusion for the feet.
Yes, exactly.
Muscle confusion is a former Mouse Rat band name.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I forgot about that. But no, you should confuse your muscles. Your foot muscles.
Yeah.
With different shoes.
Surprise them.
Yes, I agree. 35. I mean, I think Taiwan has like 200.
He has so many.
It's ridiculous. So, you know, that's more than a reasonable person should own. Can we all agree there?
Yeah. 200's a lot.
Do you need a closet for your shoes? That's the question.
I mean,
if you need three boxes to move your shoes, that's too much.
Right. Do you need to call somebody to borrow their truck to move your shoes? Bro.
Bro, shoe day.
Never skip shoe day. Oh my god. No, all right, that's fine. I'm fine with that. Okay. Let's wrap up. What am I looking for? I am not sure how to end this episode. Is there one thing that you guys have on your mind that you'd like to get out before we end for the nice people?
There are some really, really great locker room photos coming out of the Jackson Generals that I have retweeted them, but I would urge everybody to go look at Tyler O'Neill lying like Baby New Year across a championship banner. It's pretty great.
Yikes.
He actually has the thing around his shoulder that says New Year's. That's how you can tell which one Tyler is. Also because he has unbelievable muscles.
Unbelievable muscles. It's true. I mean, there are a lot of built guys down in the Jacksons.
It's
I think they all
low
just
fat in the minors.
Yeah. There's nothing else to do. They don't have any money, and they live in shit towns, so they just go to the gym all the time.
That's correct. But Tyler is different. He hasn't just burned the fat.
He has built muscle.
His muscles have muscles.
It's very true. They're winking at you. Alluring.
A according to his dad, who is a previous Mr. Canada, he just walks into the gym and gets muscles. He doesn't even have to deign to lift anything. Mm. All the machinery just cowers in fear.
I've been trying this for years.
Honestly, I'm surprised it hasn't worked for you.
I know.
Well, is your dad a former Mr. Canada?
Mm, no.
That's probably why.
Yeah, that's probably why. I don't know if I have much else to say. I
look forward to getting somewhere on the scale of drunk to tipsy tomorrow with the two of you and probably a good handful of the people listening to this right now tomorrow.
Man, I hope they put 120,000 plus this weekend. And I hope the team wins 2 out of 3. I really want them to win tomorrow. It's Felix night. Colin McHugh is not very good. He's a right-handed starter. This team should rake against Colin McHugh. There's a chance that Alex Bregman, I may be butchering the pronunciation of his last name, is not going to play as well. I want to win that game, and then just give me either Saturday or Sunday. It's all gravy at that point. But honestly, at this point, we have 16 games to go, something like that.
It's time to roll out the biz.
It is time. The biz has been lying in wait. It's time to strike. But we don't get this very often. It's the third time since 2007. We make a lot of age jokes, but David, you actually were in high school in 2007.
Oh, hell yeah, it was. It was awesome.
Freshman year champs. It just doesn't happen very often for us. So, you know, we're at the point of if you have any cynicism or doubt remaining, I feel bad for you because none of it makes sense. Welcome to life. Welcome to baseball. Welcome to rooting for a sports team. So go to the safe this weekend. Go against the Blue Jays and help combat the Canadian hordes. And Goms and Go Biz. We will talk to you next week, and we will try to figure out what all of it means. It doesn't mean anything. It's just sports. Seriously, quit taking it so seriously. But Go Biz. And also, if they lose, I'll kill myself. I'm just kidding. I won't. Goodbye.